But Wednesday night we were talking about the difference between boot camp and special forces, and my wife said, "You know, you got a little bit graphic, you know, on that special forces bit." And I said, "Yeah, I did. It was intended." See, I feel that if I can get something going that will cause you to remember what I'm talking about and what I'm saying and what I'm trying to let God say through me, then you'll always remember it and you'll come back to that place. And well, I remember now that we're not supposed to be staying in boot camp forever. At some point, we're supposed to be in special forces enough or headed that direction. Where special forces is where you slip up behind the enemy and you cut his throat in the middle of the night before he even knows that you're there and you're gone again. And that's the way you ought to do the devil. So if I can say things like that to get you to remembering some things, then the Holy Spirit has that much more of a chance to get it down inside you that you'll remember it in the days to come and it won't be just another sermon. You know, how many of you can remember a sermon from a year ago? Probably not very many. I can't remember a sermon from a year ago because I've had so many of them to go through me, I can't remember. But see, you've got to be able to latch on to some of this if you're going to apply it in your life. And if you're not going to apply it in your life, then you're not going to change. I mean, you might as well settle the issue that if you don't apply something, am I on up there, Ruby? If you don't apply something, you're not going to change. You can't change unless you do something to change. See? And so you have to begin to apply something in order to change. And if you don't, you'll stay the same way for the rest of your life. And see, those things that we have there that we're not willing to change, that we're not willing to stop long enough and change, are the things that stand between us and God's best. He already delivered to you and I all of His best, all of His inheritance, all of it was delivered to us. If we don't have it, it's not His fault. See? If I don't have all the healing I need or all the finances that I need, it's not His fault. He already done everything that He could do. So we've got to stop and decide, you know, if it's Him that's not the problem, then that only leaves one other person. And, you know, I don't know, some will say, well, that's my wife. Or that's my husband. No, that's not even an excuse either, see. See, you can't blame things on your wife. You can't blame things on your husband. Oh, you can do it, but it won't hold water before God. It won't hold water before God. At some point, you got to decide, it's me. Well, I'll blame it on the devil. No, you can't blame it on the devil because all he can work off of is the things that are in you. That's what he grabs a hold of and works off of, see? Otherwise, he doesn't have any strength or power. His power is through deception. Than making you think he can do something. And if he's got something there, especially in the soul realm, to grab a hold of, such as anger, such as fear, such as rejection, any of those things that he can grab a hold of, he'll use them, see, to stop you and keep you right where you're at for the next 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years. So something affects change. Something has to affect change. Well, that's what the Word of God is for. You know, He exalted His Word above His name. Did you know that? He exalted His Word. He considered His Word more important than His name. That's how important the Word of God is. That's how important these principles in the Word of God that we go over, that's how important that they are. Why wouldn't I say, well, you need to get Wednesday night's tape so you can find out, you know, just some more things about enforcing the enemy's defeat, because that's what you're here on earth for. Do you know that you should be using the devil to lay up fruit in heaven? That's what he's there for. He's there for a tool for you to be able to lay up fruit into heaven. You ought to look at him that way. Well, I'm gonna use you. I'm gonna lay me up some fruit to my account. I'm gonna use you. But see, it'll be the other way around. He'll be using you if you don't begin to make change in your life and affect change in your life. Well, that's what the Word of God is for, is to be able to take these principles. Each one of them plays a different part. See, each one of them plays a different part. and affects a certain part of your life. And so you got to use them all. You can't just use one. I see some people trying to use one. Some people will, you know, they'll go heavy into praying in other tongues. And I've been there. I know that. And it is probably one of the most important keys in the Word of God. But see, it'll do one thing in your life or several things in your life. Then fasting, it'll do something else that praying in tongues won't do. Then worship, it'll do something else that fasting won't do. See, confession will do something else. So each one of these things are needed in your life, and the more of them that you can apply, see, the better off that you are, the faster the change comes, the more steadfast, the more permanent the change comes. See, we need change that's permanent. Permanent change, not just change for a day. You know, that's why he says in the Word of God, you know, it's what a man does behind closed doors, not what he does out in church that's more important. It's what he does behind closed doors. How's he going to act behind closed doors? How's he going to act with his family in that private place with his family? How's he going to act there? See, that's where permanent change shows up. I mean, anybody can go into church and show a good act. Now, some of them can't. They'll blow up in church. Walk out, you know, and stuff like that. But for the most part, most people put on a good act in church. But then behind closed doors, it's a different thing. See? But that's from strongholds that we talked about in the soul. That's from those things in the soul that you haven't been able to get rid of. We talked about a stronghold being just exactly what it says it is, a stronghold. You know, and each person has different strongholds. You may have a different one than I do. We talked about some of the things that we considered bad, such as smoking. Actually, what that was from a stronghold in your soul. It's not the smoking. Don't take on the condemnation of smoking. It's not going to send you to hell. But what it is there, it's a sedative for something anchored in the soul. So whenever you get rid of that root problem, that thing that's anchored in your emotions, in your soul, when you get rid of that, then the smoking will stop. It'll come easier to get rid of that, see? You're able to go on without that. It's only acting as a sedative, just like any other drug. Yes, it's a drug. It is. See? But that's not the smoking's not the cause. The problem is what's behind it. Much more deep-rooted than that, see? Some people say, well, I've been smoking since I was 13. Well, you've had that stronghold in you since you was 13. You know, it could be something different for somebody else. You know, maybe it's rejection. Maybe it was abuse, you know. Maybe it was something that you can't even put your finger on at that moment because your mind's not clear enough to receive what God is getting across to you. That's why there's need of transformation, not only to transform you out of it, but to be transformed enough that God can get it across to you what the problem is, see? See, there is that part of it. You say, well, I want transformed out of this. What? Well, I don't know, but I want transformed out of it. Well, see, then there comes that transformation just to get you to the point. See, we want quick. Go through the drive-thru and give me fries and let me get on with it, you know. I was just talking to Glenn before service. We're on the right track in this church. Now, we may not be on the fast track. Some of you may be thinking, well, we need to be on a faster track. You know, you've had a year, now look at this crowd. You know, we're on the right track. We may not be on the fast track. See, we're all expecting these days quick answers, quick solutions. My goodness, folks, some of us, it took us 40 years, 50 years to get in the place that we are. We want a quick overnight fix, solution to the problem. It ain't going to happen. There is that transformation just so he'll be able to get across to you things. You know, I knew of things all along he was trying to get across to me that just in the last year or so that he's finally been able to communicate it to me, you know. I knew it was there, and it's like one of them things you could almost grasp and get a hold of, but yet you couldn't, you know. And he was trying to get it across to my lightning quick mind so it would close like a steel trap and grab it, you know. I tell my wife that all the time. My mind's like a steel trap. She says, yeah, it stays closed. See, but there is that transformation to get us to the point where He can get it across to us what the problem is. And then you can't take care of the problem unless you know what the problem is. Well, you got to start somewhere, see? You'll stay that way forever unless you start somewhere. And then once you start, you can't stop. See, folks want to start, and then, you know, it gets tough, you know. The going gets tough, and then they want to back up. They want to stop because it's tough. Isn't that right, Cindy? I was thinking of you when I said that. I'll admit it. Yeah, she knows what I think about some of those things, but it starts getting tough, you know, and the pressure starts, because some of us got a different breaking point than others, and it depends on what it is in our life, you know. We'll start putting the pressure, and we want to change, so we'll start doing the things that we need to change, and then that pressure point comes in there where we're, you know, well, you know, I don't know how bad I want to change, you know. I thought I wanted to change, but I don't know whether I want to change that bad or not, you know. The enemy begins to heap up pressure using those things in our life, whether it be fear, anger, rejection, no matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. He'll begin to use that, turn up the pressure. And there comes to a point that we have to make a decision. Do we go on or do we stop right where we're at? And usually if folks stop right where they're at, they go backwards. They usually don't just stay right where they stopped. They usually go backwards. And do you know that what you do today will affect change and solutions later on down the road? You think, well, I got good things happening to me today. For instance, I'll just use myself as an example, by the way. I want to thank everybody for standing with us and praying and believing and worshiping God over selling that property of ours down in Tulsa. It sold this week. We're free of it. Praise God forevermore. So I want to thank you all for that. But see, that came from something that's been happening in the past, not something that happened on Tuesday night. See, it didn't just happen Tuesday night when I cinched the deal. No, it happened back before that. Something had to begin to change. How about our faith level? How about our doubt and unbelief being gone out of our life? How about getting into that place of surrender to where, God, it's in your hands. You bring in the qualified buyer for that property. How about not just saying that with our mouth and thinking that we actually believe it, but how about really, 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 really believing it? Did you ever think of that? Well, I have faith and I'm going to be healed. Going to be. You already were. Can't you get a hold of that you already were, see? So you think, well, I got a hold of that. Yeah, I already have been healed. Well, why aren't you healed? Well, I don't know, but I have already been healed. 2,000 years ago, I was healed. Well, why aren't you healed? Well, I don't know, but I was 2,000 years ago, see. No, you got to really admit that you ain't there yet. I know this is a tough message. I remember preaching this one when I first came in. Should have seen the people leave. I got feedback from that one. Listen. I know that they believed that they were healed. I know they knew Jesus as a healer. No, they didn't know Him enough. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, see. And all He can work off of is our faith. Well, I know that they had faith in God that He was going to be the healer. Well, they died and went on to heaven, didn't they? Yes. Well, something wasn't right. Well, I know that they believed God, that He was their healer. Well, see, God is always justified. God is always justified. It's never His problem, see. It's never His problem. We want to sometimes think that we have that faith level when we actually don't. And so, just like on this property, it was something that happened in the days past. It didn't just happen Tuesday night. There was things that transpired in the Spirit before then. Maybe getting rid of some doubt and unbelief, maybe surrender, you know, maybe several things. But there was still something that happened before that caused a result. And what you decide to do today about yourself is what will affect the results on down the road. It won't be that those results just happened that day. No, they started with today. The day that you decided to pray or not to pray. The day that you decided to fast or not to fast. The day that you decided to worship God or not to worship God. The day that you decided to meditate the Word of God and meditated and meditated and take tapes and wear them out and put them into your system, the day that you decided to take those cassette tapes and wear them out, listen to them over and over and over, not just once and throw them aside. That's why, you know, I've given away a lot of cassette tapes. And boy, the Lord has been checking me on that lately. You know, I'm still trying to hear Him to exactly find out what He wants. We've given away a ton of cassette tapes. But I find this, it doesn't do any good to give them away if people just listen to them one time. But I do know this, that when you pay good money for them, you tend to listen to them a few times before you throw them aside. So there is something to that also. But I've always been one, you know, let's give them away. I just want to get the Word down in people. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you get the Word down in people. You've got to make a decision. When you make that decision to listen to those tapes over and over and over and begin to apply the things that you... Well, I know that I should be applying them. Well, why aren't you applying them? Well, I know that I should be. See, you have to make a decision to do those things. And those things that you do will cause the results on down the road. It doesn't just happen then. It starts with the decisions you make right now, see. Well, I know that I've got a controlling spirit. What's a controlling spirit? Well, a controlling spirit has to have its way all the time. Doesn't matter what area it is, doesn't matter what's happening, it has to have its way all the time. That's a controlling spirit. Well, I got a controlling spirit. Well, you need to get rid of it. Well, I'd like to. Well, you can't like to, and that won't get it. You got to begin to make a decision. I'm going to do something about it, see. You got to replace it with something. You got to take it captive with the Word of God. You got to replace it with something. What is opposite of a controlling spirit? One that is humble. Doesn't care whether it gets its way or not. Say, well, what do I do? Well, you do some praying, you do some fasting, then you begin to catch yourself when you know that it's in operation. Then you make a decision when you know that it's in operation that you're going to do something different. Well, I see it in operation. You begin to catch it, then the Holy Spirit will begin to open it up for you. Fear. Every time you get in fear, the Holy Spirit will come. He'll try to enlighten you, try to get across to you, Chuck, that maybe you're in fear. And the more that you catch it, the more that you take it in captivity, then the more that He can get across to you each time that it's beginning to operate in your life, then that you can take it captive. See, folks, you got to do something about this. You can't just listen to these messages. You listen to these messages, it was like that passage I read to you last Sunday. Listen, you listen to these messages. You're becoming accountable. The enemy's going to roll over you. You can't just sit there and listen and say, I'm not going to apply them. I like the way I am. I'm going to stay the way I am. No, you'll go backwards because of the messages that you're listening to will cause you to go backwards because you didn't apply them. You made a decision not to apply them, not to do them. Stay right where you're at. See, this is the church, whether you like it or not, is going forward. In every area. Yesterday is dead and gone. Yesterday is dead and gone. Today is a new day. Tomorrow will be a new day. See. Now maybe some of you weren't here in the past. It doesn't matter. I wasn't here in the past. But I can tell you right now what the Holy Spirit's telling me. Yesterday is dead and gone. This is a new day. If you can't change with the new day, you'll get left behind. You have to keep moving with God. You can't stand still. He's not a God that stands still. Well, I'll receive salvation as far as I'm going to go. No, He'll go on without you. He'll leave you right there at that. Praise God for the level of salvation. Praise God for it. Praise God for all my Baptist friends, but they're staying right there where they are. God is going on. Well, He's here with me. Yeah, to the limit that He can be. Only to the extent that He can be is He there with you. The grace of God is there for you to that extent, right there only. Don't expect to defeat the enemy if all you've got is salvation. You can't defeat the enemy. More or less, he's going to win out just about every time. You've got to go on with God. You've got to stay up with God. See, God's grace is there. You know, when we're trying to stay up with Him, it's there for me as a pastor. When I'm trying to stay up with Him and make the strides and the steps in this church that I'm supposed to make as its head, well, His grace is with me. But I've got to keep moving. I've got to keep seeking Him. I can't stop seeking Him. That's when the grace stops. It's when I get to the point that I don't care, that I stop seeking Him. As long as I care and as long as I'm seeking Him, even if He can't get something across to this lightning-quick mind of mine, even if He can't get something across, His grace is there until He can get it across to me. He's wanting to make changes in some lives here in this congregation. And His grace is there right now. These messages, they're a form of grace. They're a form of grace. They're giving you things that you can use and apply in your life. The one thing I hate is just a message. It's another message. You know, if you can't use it, if you can't apply it in your life, I don't have any use for it. I learned that a long time ago. I don't want any more messages where it doesn't have a use. And I kept saying to God when I first started in the ministry, even before, God, make sure that You give me stuff that people can use in their everyday life. I mean, it's easy as a minister like myself to go off preaching to pulpit ministries. Really, I find that the most comfortable because, boy, I can just lay into them. Don't you feel like a dirty rat? How much did you fast? But I kept saying, God, give me something that people can use in their everyday life because I know that that's what Your Word is for. But see, you have to apply it in your life. You can't just hear it. See, and these messages are a form of grace. There's people in this congregation that you need change, and God's grace is there with you. These messages are coming, and He's saying, here, 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 here's a solution, here's a solution, here's a solution, here's a solution. Please apply it. Please. See, that's what He's saying all along. He's on your side, but He's giving out the answers. Here's the solution. Here's a solution. You wanted to make that change? You wanted to really enter into that ministry that you were supposed to enter into 15, 20 years ago? Here it is. Here's a solution. Here's the things for change. See, this church is in the middle of change. Good change. We've been talking, you know, about one of these days, you know, we're going to go down and build a building or whatever, you know. We're going to need a bigger building. You say, well, boy, don't look like that right now. Don't be moved by what you see, hear, or feel. Just because you look at it that way doesn't mean God looks at it that way. I told the youth leaders, I said, you fill up those two rooms back there, we'll give you the sanctuary for a Sunday evening service for youth. I expect them to do it. I believe and I expect that they'll do it. I believe that in my heart. All that's in me that they'll do it. I have confidence in them. I'm not trying to convince myself. I have the confidence. I have the faith. See, it'll happen. There's great things headed for this church, but it's going to require change. It can't stay the same and great things come to this church. Because, folks, look now. It didn't work in the past. Well, now, you're being awful rough on the past. No, look, I know that at one point that this building was filled to overflowing, from my understanding. I'm going by the stories that I was told. You know, I wasn't here, but I was told that at one point it was filled to overflowing. But see, the devil came in, and then it wasn't overflowing. See, God wants us to come to a point of change and take out the things of our life that when it does fill up again, the devil won't be able to come in so easily and remove it from our midst, see. But that's going to require change, and I know that people are all at different levels. I know that. There will always be people. If it's a growing church going forward, even if it's slow growth going forward, there will always, always be people at different levels. But there will be people at that upper level that are able to drop back and hold the hand of those that are at a lower level. See? Just because you come in salvation and get filled with the Spirit doesn't mean you just stay right there stuck in that place. See? That's not what God wants. Now, He may not have you called to behind the pulpit. If He does, it'll show up. But He may not. But that doesn't mean you don't change. That doesn't mean you don't go forward just because you're not, well, I'm not called like you are, Pastor, behind that pulpit, therefore I don't have to do the things that you... Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have these things in the Word of God are for change in your life, for the everyday life. They'll change your life, and they do apply to you. Now, they may not to the extent that they apply to me. It may be required of me much more, but they still apply to you. You're still obligated to change in your life, and these things are meant for changing your life. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. And one version says, I believe it's King James, says, helps in our infirmities. And I like that, because infirmities mean that there's something that's infirm, that is not rock solid. There's something that is not true. There is something that won't hold up against an attack. There's something there that can give away real easy. It's not supported very well. It's an infirm thing. Well, that's the things we've been talking about. It may be different for each person. Maybe one person has an infirmity of poverty. Maybe a spirit of poverty is anchored deep in them, that they've been brought up in a denomination or a vein of thought that talks of poverty. And if you're not in poverty, you know, you're not close to God. You know. Go buy a new TV so you can sell it on Sunday and get holy. Go the next week, buy another TV so you can repent on Sunday and get holy again. Maybe it's that. Maybe another person, because of abuse in their childhood, maybe their infirm thing may be rejection. My God will never be able to use me. I need to sit back here on the back row and just kind of stay back here and stay hid. I just don't see why God could ever use me. I don't think I could ever be good enough for God. I don't think God could ever use me. Listen, my friend, I don't care who you are. He'll not only use you, but I've found out that He'll work you to death. But see, that infirm thing has become a stronghold, something that has got a strong hold on your life. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Now, this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, Him and your born-again spirit. This is where it all comes together. This is why praying in other tongues is so important. The Word of God says you'll pray in the understanding, and you'll pray in the Spirit, and you'll pray in the understanding. See, you'll do both. I believe in praying in the understanding. What do you think I did just before we started this service? I prayed in the understanding. But it's good to get God's mind on that before you pray in the understanding. And the only way you're going to get His mind on it is get the mind of Christ. Well, when you pray in an unknown tongue, he who prays in an unknown tongue speaks mysteries. The mind of Christ is how that's translated. So pray, when you pray in an unknown tongue, you're praying the mind of Christ. You're praying the perfect mind of Christ. The perfect solution, the perfect thing in any and every area that you could think of, see. And that's where the Holy Spirit gets involved in this. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our infirm things in our life. Because when we don't, I'm just going to do this Oklahoma style, okay? No, I'm going to do it Kansas style. I need to change that. I need to change that. I know that most Kansas people really love Oklahoma because that's the only state that they can pick on. I'm sorry, I lied. I said earlier I didn't have any more jokes, and I did. I apologize. I repent for that. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our infirmities. Because when we don't know how to pray for this infirm thing, He makes intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. For who? For you. For you and that infirm thing in your life, that thing that is not so rock solid, that thing that is developed into a stronghold, He makes intercession on your behalf. Well, if you don't open up your mouth and let those, if you don't make a decision today and open up your mouth and begin to let Him use you. See, He wants to use you. Use me for what? Use you to change you. See, He can't change you unless you open up your mouth and speak out these utterances. When you pray in another tongue, there is that time that the Holy Spirit gets involved and He makes intercession on your behalf. And so when you pray in an unknown tongue, you pray down the mind of Christ, the perfect will, the perfect solution for your infirm thing. I mean, you can mess around and pray yourself out of insanity into sanity. I'll say it again because only two or three got it. I know Charles got it. I know Beth got it. You can take the Holy Spirit and open up your mouth and pray yourself out of insanity into sanity on purpose just because you want to. See? When you don't know how to pray as you ought, I don't know how I became insane. I just know one day I woke up in this place and there was a bunch of crazy people around me. I don't know how I got here. I don't know what happened to me. Well, you can begin right then to pray in an unknown tongue and you can begin to pray yourself out of that insanity into sanity. I don't know whether I want to believe that. You'll never find out unless you make the decision to pray today, the results for tomorrow. See, there's stages. You know, I want to come in. You know how I am. You guys have probably figured out how I am. I want to come in. I want to give you the whole ball of wax. Come on, Cindy. Let's fast. And while we're at it, let's pray in tongues for about 8 hours. Then the other hours, let's worship God. And then we'll take some time and we'll meditate the Word of God. And then we'll do some confession. We might find 2 hours in the day for you to sleep. Come on. Aren't you ready to get started? Let's just do the whole ball of wax at once. Yeah. You wished. See, He won't even let me do that. I'm the one that wants to do that. He won't even let me do that with you. It's got to be in stages. You know, I came in here, you know, a year ago, and I thought, well, I'll get them praying, you know. And then, you know, we'll go into some fasting. But then every time you get a new crowd, you have to start over again. I told you I was on a roll the last three services. I don't know when it's going to stop. I've been feeling so good. I'm beside myself. See, He'll do it in stages, and His grace and His mercy is there. Just keep praying, Cindy. You'll be all right. You didn't think I heard that, did you? See, He'll do it in stages. He doesn't expect us to do it all at once. And sometimes I can't move you as fast as I want to move you. But praise God, His grace is there. We'll get there as long as we're doing something. But we can't do nothing. You have to make a decision to do it today to have results tomorrow. You got an infirm thing in your life? What you do today is going to determine what happens to that infirm thing in your life later on down the road. So you all make intercession this week on my behalf because I've got to go and haul Shelley's boxes. I need all the help in prayer that I can get. Can I help you, Pastor? Sure. Get down on your knees and stay there the whole week. No, I praise God for it. We're going to get it all done this week. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. I mean, you know, what better thing could happen to us that He would take us out of the loop, that all we have to do is open up our mouth and move our tongues, and through that, He could make intercession on our behalf according not to our will, not to man's will, not to some other group of people's will, but according to the will of God. There's just one problem. You got to open up yourself to be used by Him. You got to lend your mouth if you don't mind. God is saying, give me your mouth. Give me your tongue that I can use it, see. And if you don't, you stay the same. And he come back around in a few weeks, give me your mouth. Lend me your mouth that I can use it. You don't do it? Well, I give him 5 minutes. That's all I got. I got to go to this job that you gave me, God. You gave me this job so I couldn't pray. No. Doesn't work that way. The excuse won't fly. I'll try to stay off of it. I'm trying to be nice today. Okay. So he'll come around. Give me your mouth. Lend me your mouth. Okay, I'll give you a little bit. A few days go by, you don't give him any more. His grace is there for a while. But at some point, it's not him that leaves, folks. He's moving. He's moving on with this church. He's moving on with the people in it. But if you don't go along with him, some point, you're here and he's here. Not because he desired it. Because you didn't want to get in on what he was doing, see. But he says he makes intercession on our behalf according to the will of God. Not according to man, not according to the pastor, but according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good, Pastor. All things work together for good, you know. And he put that, you know, on my husband to line him out and bring him in line, make him be obedient. You know, we talked about that lady. What did I say? She was stupid. Need to be locked up in the cellar 6 months and let her out later and see if she changed. God didn't put nothing on you to change you. Now, you might have walked into the devil's crowd and into the devil's hand out from under the grace of God and opened the door for something to come in, but God never put it on there. Now, through those circumstances, he'll work all that he can. What you do with those circumstances, what you do in those circumstances will determine an outcome in your life. A transformation can occur. But it wasn't God that put that on you to change you. You know, I talked about that lady. She said, I just believe that my husband David, that God put that on him and put him through that to change him, to get a hold of him. They always say this. This always comes up. To jerk a knot in his tail. They always say that. I don't care where I go. Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Texas, it don't matter. I've never heard them say it in Peru. They might say it in a different fashion. And I just don't catch it. They've done it to put jerk a knot in his tail. Well, honey, it's all I could do about my tongue. My feeling was she needed locked up in the cellar. She's so stupid and ignorant, you know. My people die from lack of knowledge, true knowledge. Lock her up in the cellar, come back 6 months later, see if she changed. Maybe give her some water every now and then. See. Some people need change more than others. You know, that's how people get in bondage, teaching stuff like that. See. Wasn't God that done that? God didn't put anything on her husband to change him. Out of his disobedience, his rebellion, his ignorance, he walked into things of the devil. And God was able to work through those things and work some transformation in his life. See? And that's how that works. Let's go on. So now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. He predestined you to conform to the image of his Son, to conform to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is destined for you to do that. But you've got to go along with the plan, see? You can't be in rebellion with the plan and be conformed to the image of Christ. God may have predestined it, and He may have wanted it for you and desires it and believes with all that's in Him that it's going to happen to you. But we have a part to play. See, we can't just sit by and say, well, He predestined it, so it's going to happen or it isn't. No, that is not the way it works. We got to do something. We got to allow ourselves to be changed. We got to do the things in the Word of God that allows Him to begin to implement those things in our life that He predestined us to do. He might have predestined it, but He put us in a place, He put a plan into action that it requires man's involvement, man and woman's involvement in it. See, we're not left out of the loop. Even if it's just opening up your mouth and letting your tongue move up and down, you're still a part of it. You're still putting some action into it, see? It's not just going to sit there and go, it's going to fall out of heaven on me. No, No, if you need finances, God's going to provide a way. Well, what about work? You know how to work? God can provide that too. Now, God's not going to provide you a job and work for you to skip church, for you to be out of church, for you to be out of the things of God. See, those are things of God. If you're in, it's like I said, I think a week ago, maybe it was before that. You know, you slide back out of church. Hey, listen, if you got a church that is not preaching the Word of God and the anointing is not there, you shouldn't be in it to begin with. That's all I got to say. You need to get on your knees and seek God and have Him to show you. If you have to drive 2 hours, then drive 2 hours. But when you got a choice, you've got the anointing and they're preaching the fullness of the Word of God, everything in the Word of God, when they're preaching that, when they're teaching that, then there's no excuse. Church is a part. Now, I'm not talking about law here. I'm talking about using the things that God is providing to change your life, see? And when you stay under that anointing and stay under that Word, that makes you stronger and stronger, where when you slide out a little bit of time, what you're opening up for is for the enemy to come in and destroy you or lead you off down a path that doesn't fulfill your ministry. Boy, that's just what the devil wants. Not only does he destroy you, he destroys the works that you could have done for God to lay up fruit to your account in heaven. See? He loves doing that. He loves deceiving people and sliding them a different direction than what they're supposed to be. Oh, they're just not free enough there at Faith Fellowship. You know, I can't float around on a cloud and do my voodoo thing. I want somewhere where it's free. We'll make you free, all right. If you give me a chance, I'll lay my hands up on your head. Bind that thing. When He's providing a place, He intends for you to use it as a tool to gain more in knowledge, gain more in growth, see. He predestined us to have everything, including being conformed to the image of Christ, that we be conformed, that we be transformed and changed, but it requires our involvement, see. And when you fast, that's part of the involvement. What you're saying is, I'm tired of this flesh. I want it put down. I no longer want this flesh in control. When your emotions are in control of your life and you worship God and you confess and meditate and confess the Word of God, that's part of being changed. But you have a part to play in it, see? It looks like you're putting me into works. I am working the plan of God in your life. That's what it's about. But it's not works like you're thinking. I'm not trying to get you to earn something. You have the choice. You can lay up fruit to your account in heaven or not. In fact, the Word of God says you'll still be saved. See? You'll still be saved. But folks, listen. Don't you want to take a few people with you? Don't you want to take some fruit to heaven with you? Now, maybe you're not called as an evangelist and a teacher like I am, you know. And maybe you're not called in that area. Listen, you're still called as a soul winner. But what you need to do is you're called obedience mainly. Find out what the calling is of God upon your life. If it's to sweep these floors, then find out. And then get in that and be obedient. Be obedient when He comes. If He shows up tomorrow, be sweeping the floor if that's what you're supposed to be doing. Because that's how you're going to lay up fruit to your account in heaven, is through the obedience. See, we used to think, and I heard over and over, you know, well, you know, you lay up fruit to heaven by the amount of souls, you know. And I thought something was wrong with that, but I couldn't figure out what, so I went on ahead and listened to it and believed it for a while, although it's one of them deals where I just really couldn't totally believe it, you know. There would be a check in the back of my mind, you know, about it. But that's not it, see. How can that be? I mean, I, as an evangelist, I've got more opportunity because of where He puts me in. Because of that call upon my life, He puts me in certain places in Peru. You might not have that chance. Now, you can get in on offerings and you can pray, but see, that's another area, see? Another ministry that you're supposed to be obedient to. And then you can glean off of that fruit that's being laid up and it can become part of your fruit. But you won't have the chance to actually preach to those lives and to get them to come to Christ. You won't have that actual chance. So therefore, you have to have another way that you can lay up fruit to your account in heaven. Well, that comes through obedience. That's what obedience is about. If you're called to pray for this ministry, for me or for this church or someone else, whatever, if you're called in that area, be found obedient. That's how you'll see. He's predestined us to conform to the image of Christ, to have everything, to fulfill our ministry, to have everything. He's predestined it, but we have a part to play in it. If we just stop and we don't go any farther, as a church, if we just stop and be satisfied with what we got right now, we're not going to conform to His image. We're not going to be ready when He comes because we're not obedient. We got to move forward. The past is the past. It's already gone. If you're an individual, you have a divorce in your past, or you have this or that in your past, or maybe destruction, maybe a lost loved one, you've got to move on. It is God's perfect will. It is His desire that you move forward as an individual, as a church. You've got to move forward. You can't stay still. And that's going to take participation on our part. So when you pray in an unknown tongue, you're not just having that heavenly gift that you got when you were filled with the Spirit. It's not just an experience, folks. It's a principle. It's a tool in the Word of God that He gave you to change yourself, that you could do something that you could participate in that would change your life. What do I have to do, Pastor? Open up your mouth and let them tongues roll out. Do they have to be loud and forceful? No. You can have a little mealy-mouthed tongue prayer language. It's doing the same thing. But you've got to do it. You can't, can I think it? No. See, He designed the plan of God all around our mouths. You take a look at the Word of God. See how much the mouth is involved. Confession, worship, prayer, understanding and in the Spirit both, fasting. The mouth involved in fasting. You close it. Stand with me, please. Hallelujah, Jesus.